The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
What's the difference here? Because in history, police, prosecutors, and judges are always targeted by the bad guys, right? They're always, anybody who put anybody in jail or caused anyone to be convicted knows that someone's going to be after them and they live with that. What's the distinction here between law enforcement, prosecutors, and judges doing their jobs normally, and this rhetoric that's been amped up by Donald Trump, causing new sets of alarm and fears amongst law enforcement?
Yeah, and you know, it's sort of an unequal battlefield. I think the difference here is essentially that Donald Trump just has this massive platform and a lot of followers. Just the basic megaphone that he has really brings up a lot of these threats. I was talking to former Attorney General Eric Holder last week, and he was saying that there's essentially this mismatch between what Donald Trump can do and what DOJ can do, because DOJ lives by a certain set of principles and rules. They have to follow certain procedures. There's a tradition within the Justice Department of not speaking sort of outside the so-called four corners of an indictment, so to speak. They typically like to speak through the court process. But Donald Trump is, you know, posting these things on Truth Social and making all of these claims so public. So they're trying to make this more of an equal playing field, but really it's sort of a mismatch between DOJ and Trump in this instance.
Right. It's a mismatch because Donald Trump has Truth Social. We get it. Sure. The Democrats control all the levers of power in Washington, D.C. They've weaponized. There's emails now showing that the Joe Obama White House was behind the raid. They've weaponized the DOJ. They've weaponized the FBI. They won't stop attacking Donald Trump. They've been doing it since 2015. And hear these people with a straight face say that Donald Trump, because he's popular, well, they are right about that. But they say Donald Trump, who's been banned from everything except Truth Social, he had to go out and make it himself. And that somehow it's an uneven playing field that favors, if you can believe it, Donald Trump. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream through CRN, Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. Of course, our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and it takes you to the live video stream of this show. You get to it every weekday morning if you live here in Oklahoma or the Central Time Zone at 11 a.m. You can make the adjustment if you live in a different time zone. If you can't get to the live stream, of course, you can get to the podcast that we post a few hours after the fact each day. I've got some good news to pass along to you. Here it is. Finally, mark this day down on your calendar. What is it? The 23rd? August the 23rd. A couple weeks late, but it's here. It is here. We've got a few advanced copies here at the MPC facility, and I'm told that the rest of the shipment arrives later today. So if you're on the waiting list, you can expect to receive your copy of America Under Attack soon. If you haven't yet made your request for this brand spanking new booklet, then call our operators, the 800 number. It's toll-free if you're in the United States or in Canada or in the Caribbean. That's 1-866-930-3024. Just call our operators today and request America Under Attack. So speaking of attacks, who's being attacked here? Eric Holder, surprise, surprise, said, well, the DOJ, we abide by certain standards. Holder evidently had a discussion with that commentator you just heard there at the top of the show. The DOJ, there's certain rules that the DOJ abides by. For instance, we just go by the indictment. We let our message come out in court. That's the way that it works, they say, even as more leaks made their way to the New York Times just last night. about the classified documents. They're leaking like a sieve right now at the DOJ. They're trying to get ahead of some kind of narrative or establish a narrative or get ahead of some kind of revelation, because the more and more you find out about this raid on Donald Trump's compound in Mar-a-Lago, the more you see just how flimsy the warrant, how flimsy the affidavit, how flimsy all of this was. They had no legal right to do what they did. And so they're fishing for evidence. They're covering their tracks, and right now they're trying to come up with a valid excuse for why they sent 35, 40 agents to Donald Trump's property and demanded documents for the length of his presidency, 2017 to 2021. Anything, basically. Donald Trump's already filed a motion. He's fighting back through the court system. I'll get to that in just a second. But first, the leak. You know how the DOJ never leaks. No. Not unless it hurts Donald Trump in some form or fashion. It's get Trump. As Alan Dershowitz said the other day in that clip we played for you, that's the law here. That's the new constitution for these people. And that is get Trump, because he poses a threat to the communist takeover. America's under attack. The New York Times says here, the initial batch of documents retrieved by the National Archives from former President Donald J. Trump in January included more than 150 marked as classified, a number that ignited intense concern at the Justice Department and helped trigger the criminal investigation that led to FBI agents to swoop into Mar-a-Lago. Here, Trump is turning over the documents. He's a president, a former president of the United States. And just by the way, just because it's got a marking that says classified doesn't mean it hasn't been declassified. But here comes the leak from last night. It's at the New York Times. All these documents that Trump turned over, the New York Times is there to tell you, yeah, the DOJ, that set off alarm bells, because you know how serious the DOJ takes classified information. Well, just look at Jim Comey and his big press conference from back in 2016? Hillary Clinton smashing hard drives and iPhones, destroying thousands, tens of thousands of documents, emails. Here's what Comey had to say, clip 5.
From the group of 30,000 emails returned to the State Department in 2014, 110 emails in 52 email chains have been determined by the owning agency to contain classified information at the time they were sent or received. 8 of those chains contained information that was top secret at the time they were sent. 36 of those chains contained secret information at the time, and 8 contained confidential information at the time. That's the lowest level of classification. Separate from those, about 2,000 additional emails were upclassified to make them confidential.
So they got their hands on it in 2014. He's finally revealing this in 2016. And then basically it's a slap on the wrist. I can't remember when she stepped down as the Secretary of State. I think it was like 2012 or 13. So she's not a former president at the time she was being investigated by the FBI. She didn't have the power to declassify something. She just had all these documents, all these emails, all these communications with world leaders right there on her server. Tried to destroy all the information, obstruct justice. And then he gives her a nice little slap on the wrist and says, you know, it's not going to hold up in a court of law, but the documents that Donald Trump hands over to the archives, the DOJ, they get their hands on it, and I mean, it sets off alarm. But, well, we now know, thanks to John Solomon's reporting, that this, never mind what the Biden people said as soon as they raided Mar-a-Lago. Yeah, we didn't know anything. We learned about it like you did on the news. Well, now we have some documents that show it was the White House that was urging the DOJ to go after Trump. This is the next president, or at least their political opponent in the next election cycle. I mean, you can't get more politicized than this. And using the DOJ, and then there are the commentators saying, well, now, unlike Donald Trump, who, by the way, he's got quite a following on Truth Social, but unlike Trump, the DOJ has to play by certain rules. There's certain laws that they abide by. This is amazing to see this. And of course, they're trying to justify what they know was unlawful. They know. They know. Here's Merrick Garland's DOJ or FBI. Here he is saying, you know, we're only going to let the facts out. That's why he couldn't have a press conference more than 3.5 minutes long. Because they, you know, they keep their cards close to their chest. They don't reveal anything. And then the leak happened that night. You know, the nuclear documents, the nuclear war documents that Trump supposedly had. Haven't heard much about that recently. One leak after another leak after another leak. It's all part of the attack. America under attack. This is how Obama's, let's call it what it is. This is how Obama's DOJ works. We saw it with their FISA applications. Just go in, lie to the judge. I mean, this judge that allowed for the search warrant, he has to know by this point that he was lied to. Now, he's an Obama lover, so he's probably fine with it. We'll see. Maybe he's about to reveal some uncomfortable details from those affidavits. We'll see. We'll see. What is going on? What is the New York Times? How is the New York Times colluding with Merrick Garland's DOJ? Because you can be sure that they are. That's the way that it works. The communists in the media, they're the mouthpieces. They're part of the attack, as I say. This response from Donald Trump's team, it says here, lawyers from former President Trump asked a federal judge Monday to halt the FBI's review of documents recovered from his Florida estate earlier this month until a neutral special master can be appointed to inspect the records. Well, I think he's right to ask for this because he knows that the DOJ certainly is not neutral. It says here the request was included in a federal lawsuit, the first filing by Trump's legal team in the 2 weeks since the search, that takes broad aim at the FBI investigation into the discovery of classified records at Mar-a-Lago and that foreshadows arguments his lawyers are expected to make as the probe proceeds. So obviously this is something that should happen. We'll see what help, if any, he gets from the courts. But this revelation from John Solomon, and of course, he's only on Fox News. The major media, they could care less what John Solomon reveals. But what a bombshell. Just revealing that Joe Obama was behind this. The presidency. You've got the fake president, the puppet president. And then you've got Obama behind it. Obama, you know, the one that loves to hoard classified documents. And to just tell the archives, hey, I'll get it to you when I get it all on film. Okay? Just wait. He's had it for years. It's no problem, except when it comes to Donald Trump. Of course. This is from Just the News. It says, long before it professed no prior knowledge of the raid on Donald Trump's estate, the Biden White House worked directly with the Justice Department and National Archives to instigate the criminal probe into alleged mishandling of documents, allowing the FBI to review evidence retrieved from Mar-a-Lago this spring and eliminating the 45th president's claims to executive privilege, according to contemporaneous government documents retrieved by or reviewed by Just the News. Listen to John Solomon as he made this revelation last night with Sean Hannity, clip one.
This is a big story because they knew. They told us they didn't know anything, but the Biden White House knew.
Yeah, not only did they know, they were pushing the investigation. They gave the permission to the National Archives to send the original boxes of documents that Donald Trump had sent back to the archives to the FBI. That launches the criminal investigation. They then give the archives the permission, Joe Biden's blessing, to waive the president's best legal defense by saying he can't claim executive privileges over this. The current president will not allow it to happen. All that occurs long before a grand jury drops a subpoena on President Trump's lawyers in May and June. June and long before the raid. The Biden White House is at the ignition point of this investigation. And it's ironic because if you remember back in 2019, in 2020, it was the Biden Democrats that were complaining about efforts to start an investigation of Hunter Biden. Now they're caught doing the same thing, trying to push an investigation of their political rival, the opposition leader of the party, likely to face him in 2024.
Pushing the investigation of their political rival. It's like that article I quoted a few days ago or last week on this program. If you heard about this going on in some third world country, I think it may have been a Tucker clip now that I think of it. But if you heard that this was going on in some Central African country, you'd say, well, that's a banana republic. That's a dictatorship for the sitting president to go after his political opponent and to try to put him in jail. The White House is pushing this? Yeah, that's right. In John Solomon's report, the ignition point is at the Oval Office. And the one running the Oval Office is just down the street in Washington, D.C. His name is Barack Obama. Fundamentally transform the United States of America. America under attack. This book, this is the only book that explains what is happening and why it's happening and where it's leading. What's the solution? How's America going to get out of this? You know, one of our news gatherers today was just comparing America and the fact that we're so inward right at the moment. Just caught up in division and strife, one side against another. You know, you got the two talking heads at the top saying that, yeah, it's such an uneven battle. We just can't compete with Donald Trump. Like little children. And meanwhile, here we are, completely consumed with our own problems. And it's just like the beginning of the end for the Roman Empire. That sort of thing. We can obviously look in the pages of Bible prophecy for understanding about what's ahead. But also just look back in history. How's this going to play out? There's a foreign policy piece. If I could just skip around here for a second. This is from some of the news stack this morning. The United States should be pursuing a strategy to push Europe to take charge of its security, turning Europe from a security dependent to a true security partner. This is foreign policy basically saying that, you know, the U.S.'s interest in Ukraine, I mean, it's not sustainable. I think Biden signed off on another $800 million because we can't give Ukraine enough. There's not one penny for the U.S. southern border security. Not one cent. And yet here we are sending billions and billions of dollars that we don't have, but sending it overseas until the empire collapses. And everyone in D.C., of course, raiding the treasury before it happens as well. It's just like ancient Rome. We've seen it play out before, haven't we? If you know a little bit about history, you certainly have. My father, he writes this in his article, The Modern Romans. He says, why do great nations or empires fall? Why do superpowers fall? It is a fact of history that all world-ruling empires have collapsed. But why? It says there's a cause for every effect. The great historian Edward Gibbon wrote about the fall of the Roman Empire, the greatest of all world-ruling empires. It says, if you study Gibbon's work, it's obvious that America and Britain are headed in the same direction. In Gibbon's history, by the way, he outlined four main causes to the fall. He said, first, the injuries of time and nature. He says, the hostile attacks of the barbarians and Christians. He said, the use and abuse of materials. He said the domestic quarrels of the Romans. Those are the four reasons. That last one, the domestic quarrels, the family fighting. This is what we're witnessing, and it's gone on this trajectory. It's been there for centuries, certainly generations. I mean, the apex of America's power, of course, it reached a high watermark there at the end of World War II. But look at the course we've been on since, what we're witnessing. Generations of broken families and just rank materialism, just worshiping the individual and rejecting God. disfellowshipping God from our lives, from our families, our homes, our schools. I'm going through Professor Bloom's book, the late Professor Bloom, The Closing of the American Mind. There's all kinds of, you know, more recent books on pretty much the very same subject. Conservative commentators who are waking to the fact that modern education is just worthless. It's just communist propaganda. It's outrageously expensive. And it's producing talking heads like you saw at the top of the show. Yeah, it's such a mismatch. Donald Trump has all the advantages. The FBI just raided his house. It's never before happened. What an abuse of power. It's an outrageous abuse. And they know, the DOJ knows they have no legal leg to stand on. They don't. So you get the sense as you read some of these latest revelations that maybe they're getting a little bit uneasy over there at the DOJ. Maybe they're starting to sweat a little bit. Let's hope so. Just the News writes this, the memos show then White House Deputy Counsel Jonathan Su was engaged in conversations with the FBI, DOJ, and the National Archives as early as April, shortly after 15 boxes of classified and other materials were voluntarily returned to the Federal Historical Agency from Trump's Florida home. Here again, the Trump people, total cooperation, just voluntarily giving the boxes to the archives. And then someone at the White House telling the DOJ, hey, you better look at these boxes. I mean, this comes from Trump's estate. This is White House officials. And it's there in documents, in emails. Listen to this. It says, by May, Su conveyed to the archives that President Joe Biden would not object to waiving his predecessor's claims to executive privilege. See, they all have executive privilege except for Donald Trump and anyone representing Donald Trump. You know how easy it would be if the roles were reversed here, if this was Obama, you know how easy it would be to get the DOJ to back off by just saying, hey, that's executive privilege. You guys mind your own business. Yes, sir, Mr. Obama. We'll just let you take care of it. So there's Joe Biden basically playing God. It's Obama behind him, but there's Biden saying, yeah, and even if Trump tries to use executive privilege, he can't do it. He can't do it. I said so. If this were going on in a Central African third world country, what would you think? I mean, just assume it's a bunch of political parties and people you have no idea who they are, or who they're representing. But just try to look at it in that framework. Try to look at it as if there's a president who's giving the order. You go investigate him. You go raid his compound, raid his house at Mar-a-Lago. And sure enough, they did. It says here that President Joe Biden would not object to waiving his predecessor's claims to executive privilege, a decision that opened the door for the DOJ to get a grand jury to issue a subpoena compelling Trump to turn over any remaining materials he possessed from his presidency. Solomon says the machinations are summarized in several memos and emails exchanged between various agencies in the spring of 2022, months before the FBI took the added unprecedented step of raiding Trump's Florida compound with a court-issued search warrant. What about the lie about the nuclear documents? I mean, if this is true, this timeline, and they were trying to push for this back in February or March, if he had the nuclear secrets, why wait until August, as several have pointed out? I mean, why does it take 20 months? If he's got nuclear codes, if he's about to sell nukes to North Korea or wherever, it's all part of the attack. It had to be carefully planned. They had to use this statute. As someone pointed out, it's not even a felony, a crime. Supposing you were doing something that's illegal, and Trump wasn't. He's president. He's declassified documents. And like everyone before him, He's entitled as a president. I'll get to the Wall Street Journal piece here in just a second, where it says that they just have no legal basis for this, the DOJ. Listen again, though, to John Solomon from last night. This is clip two.
All right, so you have this document in particular that actually proves your point. Tell us what's in the document.
Yeah, this is a letter from the acting National Archivist of America to President Trump's lawyer on around May 10th, and in it, it lays out the entire role of the Biden White House. The general counsel's office was involved. It authorized the release of documents to the FBI. That's what starts the criminal probe. It then authorizes telling the Trump attorneys they will not be able to use executive privilege, and also telling the FBI, you can take these records without an executive privilege fight, go use them. So they not only start the ignition point, they facilitate it by taking away one of the president's potential defenses. Alan Dershowitz, other lawyers I talked to tonight, deeply concerned by the Biden White House's involvement in this. They didn't have to be involved. The FBI could have gone to court, tried to compel this stuff. Instead, the FBI takes a shortcut, goes to the guy who might have to run against Donald Trump in 2024 and gets the records through the back door.
You know, I saw our colleague Greg Jarrett's column. They actually use Garland's words against him, that it's standard practice to use less intrusive means. And they also want to know in this filing filing today, did the FBI lie to the magistrate? Did they omit exculpatory information? There's got to be at least 30 questions just based on those two observations in this filing today as well, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Listen, there's so much we don't know. It's like March or April of 2017, Sean, when you and I were working on the Russia collusion story. We're going to learn a lot of facts, but tonight we have a new fact and evidence. The Biden White House can no longer claim it wasn't involved in the starting of this criminal investigation or its facilitation. In fact, long before the raid, we're talking about April and May. That's now a fact that's no longer in doubt.
Long before the raid, long before the grand jury was even brought together. There was the White House saying, hey, we've got to go after him on this Records Act. We've got to go. And again, in any of this, in anything other than to just insinuate things, nuclear codes, what is the crime here? You've got Donald Trump giving boxes back at the request of the National Archives. And then the White House behind the scenes saying to the National Archives, hey, you better get this over to the FBI. FBI, look into these documents. We want to push for an investigation here. He's our political opponent, after all. Listen to this one from the Wall Street Journal. It says here, the Trump warrant had no legal basis. Was the FBI justified in searching Donald Trump's residence at Mar-a-Lago? The judge who issued the warrant for Mar-a-Lago has signaled that he's likely to release a redacted version of the affidavit supporting it, but the warrant itself suggests the answer is likely no. The FBI had no legally valid cause for the raid. And you heard John Solomon explain there. Even the way that it customarily operates, that you go in the least intrusive way, quite unlike what happened 2 weeks ago at Mar-a-Lago, a 12-hour raid with 40 agents on a former president's property. Wall Street Journal says the materials to be seized included any government and/or presidential records created between January 20th, 2017 and January 20th, 2021. The whole 4 years, any document, any record. When has this ever happened to any other president or former president? It says, i.e. during Trump's term in office, virtually all the materials at Mar-a-Lago are likely to fall within this category. Federal law, now listen to this, federal law gives Mr. Trump a right to access these documents. His possession of them is entirely consistent with that right and therefore lawful, regardless of the statutes the FBI cites in its warrant. You can see why they're getting a little bit nervous over there at the FBI and the DOJ, especially now that Donald Trump has filed his own motion, especially now that he's going into the courts. He's going to get his message out there. He's going to get his defense out there. And yet look at what he's going up against. All these corrupt judges, these communists in the media saying that it's somehow an uneven playing field. Just ridiculous. The persecution against this man, his family, as he said in that speech from 2016. I played you the clips on Friday. You know, I knew it would be bad, but I didn't know it would be this bad. I didn't know it would be this evil and vicious. It says here, the Presidential Records Act explicitly guarantees a former president continuing access to his papers. That's why they backed off on Obama. Tens of thousands, millions of pages. You saw what Comey said, even when it was classified information. Well, no judge is going to rule, against Hillary Clinton. So, what she did really was unwise. It was careless. But we're not going to call it gross negligence. I mean, we're not going to hold her responsible for this in a court of law. No, not at all. She's running for president after all. Here's a case where he's actually finished off the term of his presidency. He's got some documents, as the Wall Street Journal says, he's entitled to them. What about Donald Trump writing his memoir? Is that illegal too? It says here, those papers most likely must ultimately be made public, but in the meantime, unlike with all other government documents, which are available 24/7 to currently serving executive branch officials, the PRA establishes restrictions on access to a former president's records, including a 5-year restriction on access applicable to everyone, including the sitting president, absent a showing of need, which can be extended until the records have been properly reviewed and processed. It says before leaving office, a president can restrict access to certain materials for up to 12 years. He has that right. He had that power. He has the power to declassify a lot of documents, which he did on January 19th, 2021, the day before he left the White House. He just has that power. He was president. So they're squirming at the DOJ. They know. They know they have no legal basis for what they've done. And you get to a court, you get to a judge who upholds the Constitution, and they're going to be sweating bullets at the DOJ. So much in the way of leaks, twists, turns. Why isn't it just straightforward? It's been 2 weeks. He had classified documents. Did he have the nuclear codes or not? Did he sell the nuclear codes to another nation or not? Or is that just the narrative, the storyline from 7, 8, 9 days ago? But then we're on to something new. The New York Times leak from last night. There were classified documents. This is why it raised red flags. Really, the media should be paying attention to what John Solomon is revealing. This is a political hit job, just like it was under Obama in 2015 and 2016. Obama's the reason that Jim Comey backed off Hillary Clinton. Obama's the reason that they had this sham of an investigation into Russian meddling, Russian influence. Obama's the one who drew up the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. It's been happening now for 7 years. And where, as I said yesterday, where are the Republicans? Why aren't they taking to the airwaves to denounce this outrageous conduct? Where are they? Where are the strong men of Israel to stand up for law and order, for fairness and decency, justice? I'll take you through some scriptures in Micah at a later time. Someone emailed me thoughts from a personal study, but I mean, Micah is not the only book that talks about the grave injustice in our world today, in our nations in particular. You look at it in any other setting, except here in the United States. You look at it in any other setting, and you would be shocked and appalled. And yet, when you just sort of take it as ho-hum, another news cycle, yeah, it's a mismatch. And Donald Trump has all the advantages. So we got to take him out. It shows you how complete the infiltration, the attack has been. If you want to learn more, here it is. the new book, fresh off of the delivery truck this morning, America Under Attack. Our 800 number, it's toll-free, the call. If you live in Canada, the United States, or the Caribbean, just call our operators today and request America Under Attack, the toll-free number, 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
We are less than 3 months before the midterms, and our brand new NBC News poll paints a pretty bleak picture. Americans are angry, they're disappointed, and they are worried about the future of this country. Just 21% of adults say we are heading in the right direction, and once again, 3 out of 4 Americans say we are on the wrong track. In fact, this number, never before in our poll, has this wrong track number been over 70% for this long. It's been nearly a year now. 58%, by the way, say America's best years are behind us. That's an all-time high in our poll.
Wow. A lot of people see that America's off track. And as I said yesterday, a lot of them, I'm sure, assume that if we could just get the right politician in place, everything's fixed. But will it fix everything? As I said in the first segment, we're here at the end of 2, 3, 4 generations of family breakdown, gross immorality, radical individualism. You have all of this internal strife within America's borders. You've got, speaking of borders, you've got wide open borders. So you're just inviting all kinds of additional crime in. You've got escalating crime in every major city of the United States. A breakdown, a total breakdown of law and order. I was telling the principal students this morning, if you lose that solid backbone that is the traditional family, the whole nation crumbles. That's what we're witnessing. We're seeing it happen right in front of our faces. It's right there in front of us. And if you know some history, if you know what happened to ancient Rome, you know that this is not going to end well. I gave you this quote yesterday from the Ezekiel booklet. It says, when you see the way world events are unfolding, you know an explosion is about to happen. It's only a matter of when. You know there's an explosion coming. You know this is going to blow up in our faces. You know people are just itching to take to the streets. You know it's going to be every man for himself. And you know this is prophesied. It's in Judges 21:25. Moses warned against it in the book of Deuteronomy. Don't do what seems right in your own eyes. Look to God. Look to a strong spiritual foundation. Look to true religion. complete and total breakdown. And then crime, all kinds of evil, filth. It's just so easy to spread filth these days because of the technology. Hosea 4:1, I gave you this yesterday as well. Hear the word of the Eternal, you children of Israel, for the Eternal has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. There's no knowledge of God in this land. And so it's leading to our destruction. You can see that in verse 6. Man has always said, just give us the knowledge, give us the, you know, the modern advancements, and we'll solve all the problems of this world. In fact, the problems have worsened. I mean, we just keep sending money to Ukraine. And what's that war that's been going on for 6 months now? Are we really solving the problems of this world? Verse 6 says, if you forget the law of God, then God will forget your children. The most essential knowledge there is God's knowledge, revealed knowledge, God's truth. Jesus said God's word is truth. He also said that the truth will set you free. But we've got to have a hunger for that kind of knowledge and instruction. We've got to feed on it. This is from Isaiah 1 and verse 4. It says here, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, just laden with iniquity, sin, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. It says they have forsaken the Eternal, and they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. We've forsaken God. We think we're progressing. A lot of people like to call themselves progressives, but really, we've gone away backward. Verse 5 says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. All of the trouble. Look at the sickness. We've certainly heard a lot about sickness over the last 2 years. And Fauci and friends come along and say they've got all the solutions. They'll solve everything. Now he's off. He's about to retire, write his memoir. He'll probably take all the documents he wants internally, those internal government documents. He's been a government bureaucrat for decades. Now he's off to write his book about how much he represents or symbolizes truth and consistency, integrity. And that man hurt so many people, destroyed so many businesses. And it continues because of the after effects of the lockdown measures, of the vaccine. Verse 6, it says, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. It's just sick from top to bottom. There's no soundness. There's no soundness of mind. There's no sound thinking and reasoning. I gave this quote to the principal's class this morning where Mr. Armstrong, even in just talking about how he wrote The Missing Dimension in Sex and the style and how that the book, he didn't aim to have the sort of dry and pedantic approach that scholars might use. He said had he approached it that way, it might have stroked his vanity, but it wouldn't have gotten the message across. It would have made the message more difficult to understand. Instead, he came forward with plainness of speech or writing, whatever it was. He spoke the truth. He spoke the truth in love. And he was blunt. He was frank about it as well. How thankful are we for that refreshing message, even in the Bible? You can look into the Bible and just, you're left with no doubt about where God stands on any particular issue. Pick one. Read through Romans 1. See what God thinks about all of this hedonism that's in our world today. Or in 2 Timothy 3, the evil just waxing worse and worse and worse. And God says, look, it has a form of godliness. People try to make it seem like it's religious. You know, you hear them talk about Roe v. Wade and they sound like a religious zealot. Or you hear them talk about climate change. There's some real faith. These people believe. How about the Get Trump zealots? I mean, that's a rabid religion right there. Anything and everything except for the knowledge of God, except for upholding the truth of God. Verse 9, it says, except the Eternal of Hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom. That's what God says. We're like, he compares us to Sodom and Gomorrah. My father said in 2003, the education of this world is leading to catastrophe. We must have an education that brings peace and hope. That's the kind of education our AC students receive. It's leading. You see, all of these leaders that we play clips of, they're products of modern education, and they're leading this world, they're leading this nation to catastrophe. You don't have to look around for very long to know that this is building toward an explosion, like that quote says in the Ezekiel booklet. So what's the solution? What ought we to focus on, we in God's family, in God's church? This is 2 Timothy 1. Notice verse 6. It says, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Paul was trying to light a bit of a fire under Timothy because it was easy to get discouraged in Timothy's day. So many people were falling away from the truth. You can see that in 2 Timothy chapter 1 as well. And so Paul said to Timothy, look, just concentrate and focus on going out and finding other soldiers that will fight for the truth. Just concentrate on doing God's work. Verse 7, it says, for God, this is Paul encouraging Timothy, Paul says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is what we promote here at Armstrong College. We help our young people to develop a sound, sensible, clear-thinking mind where they can express their ideas and their thoughts in a clear and vivid way. This is from the Ambassador College catalog from way back in 1952. Mr. Armstrong, he said this was one of the educational objectives for AC students, to develop right mental habits, intellectual curiosity, self-discipline, independent and clear thinking, the love of truth and scholarship. You know, Alan Bloom made this point in The Closing of the American Mind. You go into the university environment and they talk to you about openness. You know, we're opening up your mind. And in fact, it's just basically opening up your lifestyle to any and every behavior. And you've got to be completely open to it in everyone else's lifestyle too. Because the greatest sin of all would be to be intolerant. You can't be intolerant. Except in a few cases, you know, if you're a Bible believer, then they need to be attacked. Or if you're Donald Trump, he certainly needs to be attacked. Just go in there, get the documents, and you'll find the crime. But and this is happening when in every other field or in every other runway of society, it's just wide open to filth on top of filth on top of filth. You don't go to the university environment today to develop right mental habits. You don't go in with an open mind that just receives truth revealed from God. What open mind you may have going in is surely going to shut within weeks or maybe months. Because that's what the devil wants. He just wants our minds closed to the truth. Wide open to anything else, any sin for sure. But definitely closed shut to God's education, to God's truth, God's teaching. Notice Isaiah again. This is Isaiah 1 and verse 16. The prophet says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before your eyes, before mine eyes, it says. Cease to do evil. Cease to do evil. Don't live a sinful way of life. Get those sins purged from out of your thinking. be clean. This is a theme you see in the Bible from start to finish, Old Testament, New. Purity. Strive for purity in all things. Notice verse 17. It says here, learn to do well. You have to learn it, you see. You need God's truth. You need knowledge of God to know which way is the right way. And Alan Bloom addresses that as well. It's a classic text. Yeah, there's no absolutes. If you start to feel a little guilty about the way you're living, just make a little value adjustment. You know, just there, it's all relative. Just change the standard, then you can feel good about it. Then you can say, yeah, this sinful behavior, it's actually okay. I can actually live this way and feel good about it and feel good about myself. And then Satan tries to provide all of these band-aids to put on the wounds that come like a boomerang. Cause and effect. God brings you into his educational environment and says, look, if you live the right way, if you obey my commands, you will be blessed. There's cause, effect. If you live the way of sin and rebellion, then you will be cursed. Cause, effect. Verse 18, it says, come now and let us reason together. This is God speaking through the prophet. Let us reason together, says the Eternal. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You see, true education is reasoning with God. That's what education at Armstrong College is all about. This is what the young people here are learning on a daily basis. They're being taught to stop following and trusting in man, and to reason together with God, and to learn to follow and to trust God, to put their faith in God for deliverance, for strength, for power, for the ability to think and to reason with a sound mind. In The Missing Dimension at Sex, it says the very first need of the first man and the first woman was to be given essential knowledge. That is humanity's first need today, but humanity has rejected that essential knowledge. See, we've rejected it. We rejected God. We rejected the tree of life from the very beginning and chose to go our own way. And God said, all right, fine, you're cut off from the tree of life. You're going to have to go and build your own system of education, among other things. And we're all products, this world around us, our nation, our leaders, they're products of this system, this modern system of education. And look at what it's bringing us to. Look at where it's taking us. We're living in a world, we're living in a nation that is about to explode. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God, on the other hand, God says, hey, come and reason with me. Let's reason together. Acts 17 and verse 1. Notice this example from the New Testament church era. It says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. He reasoned with these brethren, these Jews. He reasoned right out of the Scriptures. That's what this world needs. That's what this world's going to receive and get just as soon as Jesus Christ returns to this earth. And Acts 3, verses 19 through 21 bring this out. And the whole world experiences this great refreshing, this restitution of all things. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Don't forget the 800 number if you request America Under Attack. Call today, 1-866-930-3024. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.